Welcome to today's National Community Pharmacists Association conference call, titled, Making the Most of the Adherence Visit, Opportunity for Revenue-Producing Services. During the presentation, all lines will be in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the presentation, and instructions for asking questions will be given at that time. Thank you for your attention. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Ms. Bree Morris.
Welcome, everyone, and thanks so much for joining us for today's Adherence Lunch and Learn, brought to you as part of NCPA's Simplify My Meds program. Today, we're going to talk about revenue-producing services that you can add to your adherence program. My name is Bree Morris, and I'm a pharmacist on staff of NCPA, and I manage our adherence initiatives and Simplify My Meds program. Today, the program is going to be brought to you by NCPA's executive resident, Dr. Kevin Day. He's a graduate of the University of Toledo, and he also grew up in his dad's independent pharmacy managing programs there. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to our speaker for today, Dr. Day.
Thanks, Bree, and thank you all for joining us this morning. So we're doing a brief introduction to Simplify My Meds and some objectives that we're going to cover today. I know you all are Simplify My Meds users already, so you're on board with what the program is, how it functions, and how it works in your store. But Simplify My Meds is a medication synchronization program that ties really closely to a developing model called an appointment-based model, which is a way for pharmacies and different offices to practice. It's really just exactly how a physician practices in all of their models and anywhere else that you make appointments before you go in. And it's starting to spread into the pharmacy, and medication synchronization programs are great ways to get that off the ground. So we're going to use that as a background to add to your Simplify Meds program some revenue-producing ideas and different ways that you can improve patient care, some patient care services that you can add to your Simplify Meds program. So we'll talk through some ways to market and use immunizations, and A1C and other clinical tests that can be done with Simplify My Meds pickup, disease state management ideas, and how to roll comprehensive medication reviews and over-the-counter recommendations into a Simplify My Meds pickup day. Like I said, Simplify My Meds is designed as a medication synchronization program, but the lines are blurring between what a MedSync program is and what an appointment-based model program is. So I'm going to use those relatively interchangeably. But I'm going to say that the key difference between an appointment-based model and a medication synchronization model is that an appointment-based model purposefully is effectively and efficiently using the patient's pickup days. The chains that are starting some large-scale medication synchronization programs are going to do a good job getting patients to only have to come to their store once a month, but using that once-a-month visit effectively to add other patient services to really promote patient care is a way that I think appointment-based models differentiate themselves from larger medication synchronization programs. So I'm going to talk through some ideas. This is obviously an abbreviated list. There's endless things that you could do, but I'm focusing in general on things that I think you could do focus on for a month. And if you do it for a month and have every patient who's enrolled in your Simplify My Meds program come through, you can get this to every single patient in your store. So it's a great way to add marketing for some different niche services. The other thing, too, is if you do it on a month-by-month basis, you can offer some of these services and really push them for 1 month at a time. And if you might have to rent equipment or something like that, you can do that for a month program rather than buy equipment for a long term. Same thing goes, too, if you have, say, a clinical pharmacist on staff. Maybe it doesn't work monthly, but it's something that you can promote for every Tuesday and Thursday when that person's in your store versus doing it differently. Or maybe if you have multiple stores and you have a clinical pharmacist who rotates through, you can focus it on pickups for the day that it comes to. But just ways to identify the patients that you have, use the information that you have from the medication list, and take it a next step into some patient care services. So we're going to start with immunizations and with flu shots. Flu season obviously is coming quickly now that it's mid-June already. Hopefully all of you guys are set up and able to do immunizations at your store. If not, there might still be time to get it done for this season, but certainly a goal for next year. Orders, I know, for flu vaccines have to probably be placed shortly. But if they're coming in for their monthly refills, your patients, you know, say during the month of September when you have stock, it's a great idea to use their, you know, the fact that your patients are already coming in on a scheduled day to have those flu shots ready to go. So when you're doing the call a week in advance before your patients come in, ask them, add that line to your script. of, are you interested in getting your flu shot when you come in next week? If they say yes, you can mark it on their chart or on your computer system, however you're running the Symptomatic Meds program. You can process that script in advance and have that all done so when the patient comes in, they know that they're getting a flu shot, you know that they're getting a flu shot, it's already been processed and paid for, and any deals with insurance is already figured out, and the patient, again, gets the one-stop convenience. And you can do this efficiently and add it to your one-stop once-a-month visit. I added this extra slide here so you guys could have record for it, but I already talked through what we're going through here. So again, the idea of a script, I think, adds value to this, and you can offer this to every single one of your patients if it's part of your script that your technician or your resident or pharmacist or whoever's making those calls the week before. And the patient already knows in advance that they're coming to get your flu shot. You can do a similar type style with other immunizations, whether it's shingles or pneumonia or something else that you offer in your area. Obviously, shingles and pneumonia both have age restrictions, so rather than just every single patient who's coming in, we're targeting patients who meet the age levels. But if you've never asked on a purposeful basis, if you've never asked all of your patients who are over 60 if they've gotten the vaccines that they're indicated for their age, this is a great way that you can get all of them in one go. So again, when you're preparing or your technician is preparing to make a call to a patient and they notice that the patient is over a certain age, add that line to the script that says, have you ever gotten a shingles vaccine? Are you interested in getting one now? Obviously, state laws here are different. For flu vaccines, it's a lot easier because almost every state pharmacists can give a flu vaccine without a prescription specific for the patient. I know for these, some of those are different, but if you find out a week in advance that a patient has never gotten a pneumonia vaccine and is eligible for one, or a shingles vaccine and is eligible for one, maybe you can then lead that charge getting a hold of the physician to try to get that prescription back. Again, to get it back before the patient comes in the week after. You have time to get that done, to get billing done, to make sure you have supply ready to go. And again, this is something that you can do, take a month, or in this case probably take 2 months, a couple months apart. We don't want to give these back-to-back. And you can cover all of your patients on pneumonia, and you'll know that then your entire patient population above the age has been covered. At least ask if they've gotten a pneumonia vaccine, and if they haven't, hopefully you've offered for sure and hopefully vaccinated a good number of them. The same thing with shingles. It's a lot easier, I think, to market this on a really strong push on a month when the patients are coming in and you're making those calls. You're going to talk to them at least twice that month guaranteed, rather than kind of free form throughout the year trying to remember, and who have I talked to, and did I ask you this last month, did I ask you this 3 months ago? But pick the 1 month, focus on it, and get them all done and knocked out. So the next thing beyond immunizations, and there's certainly other immunizations you can do, is going to be on some clinical tests. So I love the idea of A1C. I have a background in some diabetes training education. I think diabetes care is a huge issue, obviously, still in this country, and a big lack. Endocrinologist numbers are pretty low, and pharmacists have a great space to deal with diabetes. Certainly, we know diabetes is very heavily medication managed and very patient driven on their self management and self care. So I think an A1C to be able to offer as a clinical test in your pharmacy is maybe a great idea, both for your diabetic patients. They're hopefully getting their A1Cs checked regularly, but A1Cs are valuable every 3 months. And I know I would not want to go to my physician, my PCP or my endocrinologist every 3 months if really all I'm going in for is an A1C check. It can also get expensive. Patients who are on high deductible plans or whatever that might be, the visit copay can be significantly more expensive than just a freestanding test. And pharmacies are able to offer these tests. There's these tests that are available. The one that I've used in the past is called A1C Now. The new version is A1C Now Plus. It's a quick test. It's CLIA-waived, so a CLIA-waived pharmacy. And if you're not CLIA-waived, it's an easy process, an application, and a relatively small fee. It comes to the federal government. Last time I was trying to apply for one at a pharmacy, the federal government was shut down, so we were a little bit delayed. But assuming that doesn't happen again anytime soon, it's an easy process to become CLIA-waived. You can do these and all kinds of CLIA-waived tests. Most small blood tests are CLIA-waived, that you can do them in your pharmacy. These A1C Now Plus tests are available. You can order them from most of your wholesalers. If not, you can order them online. They're less than $10 each, which means if you offer it on a cash basis, you can make enough money back to cover some of your time as a pharmacist. that the patient can still save a significant amount of money versus going to an endocrinologist or the PCP for the A1C test. The other thing, too, for your non-diabetics is that we know there's a ton of people in this country who either have pre-diabetes, so that's the A1C that's slightly elevated but not over the 7, that's the diagnostic for diabetes, or are undiagnosed diabetics, but they do have diabetes, they should be getting treated, but they're not diagnosed with that yet. They've never been told that. And if you can offer this, again, maybe it's $20, that you can offer this test to them and then give the counseling and say, hey, this number is higher than it should be, and follow up and give them the education that they need to go forward for that. This obviously markets really well for November, for American Diabetes Month, and again, can be a way that you can offer some goodwill for your patients, promote yourself as more patient care services and a little more clinical focus than just pickup days, but using the fact that these patients are going to come into your pharmacy on a day that you know when they're coming, you know when they're going to show up, and you have a call with them 7 days or so in advance that you can call and ask and say, hey, would you be interested in getting your A1C tested when you're here? And maybe it's split, that one of the months or one of the years you do it that targeted towards your diabetics based on their medication list, and one of the months or years you do it targeted towards others and just offer it to everybody who's around. Something to consider, again, it could be a revenue stream, but also is a good idea just to build goodwill with your patients. There's obviously a lot of other clinical tests that can be done in the pharmacy. Again, CLIA wave tests, lipids, I think probably many of you are familiar at least with the Cholestec devices. There's others that are in pharmacy cholesterol testing, just off a small drop of blood, maybe somewhere from 5 to 10 or 15 minutes for the test to run. I think that's a reasonable amount of time to ask a patient to come, take the blood, and then maybe they check out for their prescriptions, and you can look at the results. This also, too, can be helpful if you're trying to get into a more clinical niche and clinical volume area. You have to be careful here on how you protect this information, but if you can add this to a patient chart and have real data and information on your patients. I know we ask all the time that we're trying to figure out how we can get better data and better healthcare information from physicians through HIT collaboration and things like that. But if you collect it yourself, then it's yours, and you don't have to worry about asking it for anybody else. Bone density scans, this is one of the things that certainly would be a rentable kind of thing, I think. DEXA scans are expensive, but there are machines that are available for rent from different places. I know you can look around to do this, and maybe somewhere if you guys are in part of pharmacy co-ops or things like that, maybe it's a monthly thing that gets shared throughout all the pharmacies. Again, if you have it for a month, all of your patients come through, you can offer it to, obviously the age range is important here again. I'm young, male, I probably don't need or will benefit from a DEXA scan that would be worth your time or money. But many of your patients might benefit from that. Either they've been on Fosamax for 5 years and be curious a little bit about what their numbers have changed to or where they look at, or you have an 80-year-old, maybe frail woman who's never had her bone scanned. And density scan could be valuable just to know and get baseline. And then based on where that number comes back, you know, have a conversation with a physician to say maybe make some recommendations on that. Blood pressure, obviously, American Heart Month, different things. I know many pharmacies have blood pressure cuffs and blood pressure machines in their stores, but really promoting that as an opportunity and saying, hey, when you come in this next week, you know, I'm going to ask you to check your blood pressure with me and kind of talk about what the results are. I think we'll find oftentimes that our patients who are quote-unquote controlled on blood pressure medications are running blood pressures consistently in the 160s or 180s or 200s or 210s. We've all seen that. We all know that. But purposefully taking that action to say, hey, I really want to check your blood pressure, again, you can add it to the patient chart and have it built in there, and maybe it leads to a better conversation. Maybe you end up selling a blood pressure cuff or whatever that might be. HIV and Hep C are other things. If you're interested in getting the specialty pharmacy, or I have a little bit of background in from this year, those are obviously great ideas to know what your patients are. Obviously, there's a little bit more, secretive nature of this and private nature for those two tests. So you have to be sure you have a good relationship with that person. Maybe you don't offer this to every single person or offer it as an available test, but you're probably not going to get quite the same response rate to that. But again, if you can help diagnose somebody who's undiagnosed with Hep C or HIV, then maybe they stay your patient because of that goodwill that you can build that way. And obviously there's better revenue potential in medications that come out of those classes, out of the high medications. The next things I want to talk about are in the disease state management area, and these are certainly less tied to revenue as some of the others are, less directly. But I think they're really important for building goodwill, building some clinical expertise in the area that I think can lead into other projects, other things regarding these two diseases. So both diabetes and CHF. We've already talked about diabetes, incredibly medication managed. Obviously, tons and tons of patients across the country who are on it, so it affects huge populations. And CHF the same way, that the best way to care for CHF is with really good medication adherence, on the right medications at the right times, and a lot of patient self-driven on their diet and watching, you know, kind of monitoring themselves. So I think educating on both of those things, and especially on the monitoring side, can be really valuable. So for diabetes, obviously, it's all about testing blood sugars. When we talked about testing A1C, some of those tests are available at home if a patient would be interested in that. But testing blood sugars on a daily basis is really important for all diabetics, type 1, type 2, it doesn't matter. So asking your patients every time they come in, or, again, take 1 month to ask all of your diabetic patients about how they're doing testing, if they're doing testing. And if you find patients who are type 2 diabetics who aren't testing at all, maybe you can add that to the conversation and encourage them to at least test once or maybe twice a day, which might lead to sales of strips and lancets and all the supplies that go with that. With CHF, the big thing for patient monitoring is daily weight testing. For grandparents, all of which are dealing with CHF right now, and it's incredibly difficult to encourage them to do daily weight testing and explain what that meaning is. It's also something that the physicians, especially if coming out of a hospital, really get missed on how important this can be. And, I mean, I had a grandfather get rehospitalized for CHF because he wasn't testing his weight and he missed early signs that could have easily been prevented with a phone call based on the fact that, hey, my weight's up a couple pounds today. Do I need to take additional Lasix? So encouraging that testing can provide better patient care and, again, promote that goodwill, the clinical knowledge, and that better relationship between you and your patients. And if you're going to promote this, I would encourage you to have a couple digital scales on hand at your store. Keep those in stock. I think a lot of patients probably don't have a scale. I certainly didn't have a scale until just recently. And again, you can do this based on medications on the med list that you're going to review before the patient comes in anyway. Obviously, for CHF, you're looking for an ACE inhibitor with a beta blocker, other medications. You guys are pharmacists. You know what I'm looking for. And also, too, many of you have personal relationships with the patients. You know if they have CHF or not. And you don't necessarily need the EHR with the diagnosis code. You can tell if the patient has CHF or not. So next I want to talk about comprehensive medication review, which is obviously a part of medication therapy management. And I want to take just a minute to talk about medication therapy management in general. MTM is a term that's been talked about for years now, and I think a lot of talked about and not necessarily taught about. So I'm going to take a second to teach a little bit. So comprehensive medication review, or CMR, is a component of a medication therapy management program. So a payer, whether it's for a city or a massive payer, an entire health plan, may have a medication therapy management program that their patients, their employees, or whoever that might be, are eligible for. If they're eligible for a program, part of that includes, most likely, an annual CMR. Now, some medication therapy management programs include every 6-month CMR, or even monthly or quarterly CMRs. On top of the CMR, which, again, is a component of this, are what are called targeted medication actions, and other varieties can fall in. You know, there's the 5 core elements of MTM, but some of those are even getting expanded on. So CMRs also can exist as a standalone medication therapy management service. So when you're looking at your Merixa and outcomes, most of those are medication therapy management programs that the CMR patients who fall into, you know, are part of a larger program. What that means and why this is important to understand is if you have a patient who's part of a medication therapy management program and you do a CMR for them, say this month now in June, that program almost guaranteed lasts all year. So if in December you end up finding some mistake or catching an error, maybe it's an education type related thing, maybe it's something that they were doubling up on a dose that they weren't supposed to be doubling up on that could have led to a serious effect, and you catch that and educate it, if that patient is part of a medication therapy management program, almost assuredly you are able to bill for that service that then you then did. If they're not, and you're doing a CMR for a patient as part, just as a freestanding medication therapy management service, even if the next week you find something really crazy, you're not able to bill for that additional. So just something to keep in mind on when you're looking at MTM and outcomes and understanding that. Oftentimes we end up counseling patients and answering questions that are potentially billable through MTM and outcomes, through Marixa and outcomes, sorry, under an MTM program. So understand that a little bit, and as you're doing CMRs, maybe try to keep mental notes at least, if not actual notes, on which of your patients or which of your plans are part of bigger medication therapy management programs. Look into what else you're able to bill for, and consider that. If you make some crazy save on something, it might be a billable thing, and some of those are big dollar amounts. If you're able to prevent somebody almost guaranteed from getting hospitalized, say for a medication error that they're doing, that might be worth almost $100. So a CMR in general, comprehensive medication review, is a 30-minute, preferably face-to-face, complete medication review of prescription and OTC meds. So 30 minutes obviously is a loose term. I know I end up getting more conversations than not, and they end up taking me a little longer than that. There are also people who get really, really good at this, who are able to do it faster than 30 minutes. But 30 minutes is kind of a rough estimate, which means that this is going to have to get talked about and explained a little bit if you're going to try to roll this into your Simplify Meds pickup day, because the patients are used to coming in, picking up medications, and leaving. So if you need to sit down with them, you're going to have to maybe schedule that out a little bit better. Also, too, if you are the only pharmacist or whoever the pharmacist on staff, or maybe it's even an intern or a resident is going to be doing these CMRs, it's going to be really helpful for them to have a more detailed schedule than just the day that the patient's going to come in on Tuesday and be ready for a CMR. Because if three patients are coming in on Tuesday and they all show up at 10 a.m., and you're only one of you, and you end up in a little bit of trouble. Most Medicaid patients are eligible for at least one per year, like I said, but patients drop into the queue at differing times throughout the year. Not all patients are going to be eligible January 1st every year. Part of that has to do with the fact that if their plan or maybe a mail-order pharmacy did a CMR for them at some point in the past, then their eligibility begins from that date going forward every year. So you're going to have patients drop in throughout the year. And again, I know you guys are familiar with this from seeing patients drop into your queues on Marixa and outcomes. Completion rates for CMRs are going to be part of the CMS star ratings for this coming year. I know we've talked about that. We've mentioned it multiple times. But you've already been evaluated for the 2016 plan year. That's based on 2014 data. We're already in the middle of 2015, but there's still a lot you can do for 2015 for your CMR completion rates. And I think using the Simplify Meds idea and the chance that you have an appointment-based model plan of calling the patient 7 days in advance, or give or take, and asking them and say, hey, when you come in next week, could you be prepared to give us 25, 35 minutes of your time to do a comprehensive medication review and explain the benefits to the patient? Again, you're going to be able to talk to patients about all of their medications, including their OTCs, and really look through all of the gaps, all of the challenges, everything that might be going well, going wrong. And a lot of times we're going to find that patients are on medications, getting medications dispensed that they're not using correctly, or aren't being beneficial at this point. So you're able to talk through all those types of things. And two, even if the patient's not currently eligible for a CMR, based on what Marixa or outcomes or whoever the provider is telling you, doing a mini CMR, which you're doing anyway, looking at their medication list and calling to see if they're eligible for refills and all these kinds of things, you're already checking what they're on, what they're taking. But especially doing these to look for missing OTCs can be really valuable, because then you can promote front-end sales from your OTC section. So we'll talk through a couple of those in particular, OTC recommendations. And again, so you're going to review medication lists, and if you're reviewing on a monthly basis all your patients' medication list, maybe you pick 1 month. So let's say you're going to do this for July, because that starts soon. And for July, you're going to check all of your patients who are on bisphosphonates, Fosmax, Benivas, and others, because all of your patients who are taking those should be taking vitamin D and calcium. It's part of the package label. It's really important. Those drugs don't work very well to help bone density without vitamin D and calcium. But that's a recommendation that gets lost often. It doesn't necessarily come from the physicians, and if it doesn't come from the pharmacy, the patient's not going to read the package label themselves to learn that. So you're going to start this in July. You have a big push to make sure all of your patients are taking vitamin C and calcium. Best way to do this, I would say, is have a sale on vitamin C and calcium products that you have over the counter. But when you have those calls, again, target it to those patients. So you're looking at the medication review list. You see that patient's on Fosamax. When you make the call, Ms. Jones, how are you today? You're coming in for your medications next week along your regular script. I notice that you're on Fosamax. This medication should be taken with vitamin D and calcium supplementation. Are you currently taking this? If the answer is yes, mark it off and move on. If the answer is no, you know, maybe explain those benefits and then have either a coupon maybe or even have the product, the vitamin D and calcium, either combined or separate with the patient's meds at pickup. So when they come in, you can say, you really should be on these supplements. They're really important for to make that drug work effectively. Here they are for you. They're on sale this month because I put them on sale, and they're ready to go. Let's add this to your regimen, and then you can, again, mark that down. And if you cover it over the entire month of July, again, you know that you'll have covered all of your patients who are taking these medications, and you won't have to continue to ask about it throughout the year. Now, you can ask, certainly, for follow-up to make sure that they're still taking it. Obviously, ask if they're going to need more of that of those supplements at different times. There's lots of examples of drugs like this that should be taken with other medications. Methotrexate obviously should be taken with folic acid in almost all cases. If you have patients who are on methotrexate, that should be a no-brainer to ask that question. And then some of the ones that are maybe a little less traditional, not part of the package label, but do have very good evidence and cover a lot of patients and potentially can ring some real sales, is the statins and the CoQ10s. So statins inhibiting cholesterol, part of their mechanism, also inhibits the creation of CoQ10 in the body. CoQ10 is an important coenzyme. It's helpful in a lot of things. I mean, really valuable in the body. It's literally called ubiquitous because it's everywhere and involved in everything. So CoQ10 supplementations for patients on statins makes a lot of sense, and there's a lot of research that shows better results in patients who take CoQ10 supplementation when they're on statin medications. So again, pick a month. Maybe this one's August. And all, when you're going through medications and going through their list before you make those phone calls, you're checking everything off, and you notice patients on a statin, add that line to the script of, you take a statin, have you ever been told or do you know about CoQ10 depletion related with statins? I think many of your patients are going to say no unless you've already educated them on it. You can talk about the value of CoQ10, what it can add for brain health, for energy, for heart health, different things, and then add a CoQ10 bottle, again, to the patient's bag or maybe a coupon or have it on sale or whatever you're going to do to promote that sale to add the revenue from the front end. Various other things, obviously many patient populations benefit from a daily aspirin, that maybe for a heart month or something like that. With heart health, you can ask about patients taking aspirin. If they're not, encourage them to start. And there's a whole list of drugs. There's books about the drugs that cause supplement depletion, what those are, what they cause to various degrees. A lot of the ones that affect the stomach, proton pump inhibitors, H2 inhibitors, cause a lot of malabsorption of nutrients that then can require supplementation. Like I said, there's lists and lists of these. But to target one, again, for a month, you know you ask all your patients about it, which means you don't have to deal with it throughout the rest of the year. And you can really get really good at promoting that, what works well with patients, what vibes well with your patient population. So in conclusion, Simplify My Meds likely streamlined your workflow and made your pharmacy more efficient. When you implement it, as you've improved, as you've grown, I know that's been the case. And the efficiency allows you, or hopefully is allowing you, to add additional patient care services to take better care of your patients and hopefully be revenue generating. I covered some ideas today. I think there's many, many more. And there's lots of different ways that you can think about setting this up. But I want to leave with a quote from a prominent CPA member who I like. How can you make your pharmacy practice run more like a physician's office? And when you think about going to a physician's office, and many of us have obviously heard or experienced some maybe less than ideal stories from a physician office, so learn from that and make your experience better. But physician's offices do really good work of using their time efficiently and using individuals' times efficiently. So when we're talking about through this list, and you know, especially with, say, with CMRs, there's a lot of work that goes into a CMR. From setup and call and making sure the list is ready and things that are done to afterwards and documentation and all of that. And none of that has to be done by a pharmacist. It's something that is a really good project for interns if you have them around. Technicians who you trust are great people to do this. Maybe a Simplify My Meds program manager can help with some of the different things. So just think about how, you know, you can efficiently run your office using various people's time as well. I know a lot of this can seem overwhelming if you as a single pharmacist is asked to do all of it, but there's other people around who can really help you out. I do hope that some of this is helpful and some of these ideas can get taken back Think about with your marketing for this program about how national months and using other marketing materials that are available on a large scale can help you. I think America Diabetes Month is probably one of the most publicized health events in the country. So using that to benefit you is basically just free marketing. I'm jumping on that bandwagon a little bit and saying for America Diabetes Month, we are offering A1C screens for all of our patients this month for a low fee or whatever that might be. So again, marketing is really important for this program. Simplify Meds in general, you guys know that. But if you're going to add additional revenue-generating sources to that, you're going to have to market those as well. Your one-week-out phone calls are really helpful ways to do that. So if you need additional resources or anything like that, feel free to ask questions. We'll take some questions now. We can always take questions at a later date as well.
Thank you. At this time, we will begin the question-and-answer session. To ask a question, press 0 followed by a 1 on your touch-tone phone, or type it into the chat box on the left side of your screen. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. If you have a question, press 0 followed by a 1 or type it in now. And please hold for a moment as our system compiles your responses.
While we're waiting for those questions to queue up, I do want to go back to a slide that we skipped over really quick earlier. I just want to remind you guys that we do have a Simplify My Meds training series that's available on NCPA's YouTube channel. It's a 6-part series that walks you step by step through how to set up a MedSync program in your store. The videos are less than 5 minutes each, and hopefully you'll find those useful either if you're starting the program or as a refresher as you continue implementing the program.
Okay, and we do have a question over the phone from Mr. Jerry Callahan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, do you guys have a list of the nutrient depletion? I think Cardinal one time used to have that. Do you guys have one as well, the drugs and the nutrients that they deplete?
Jerry, I can look for a good one. We published a CE 18 months ago, I believe, in American Pharmacist with help from PCCA that covered this topic. But I can look for one and send it out to you.
Yeah, chart would be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that's a great suggestion, Jerry.
All right, thank you. And as a reminder to our audience, you may ask a question by pressing 01 or typing it into the chat box now.
I see a question from Amar in the chat box. And we will make the resources that we find or charts or whatever they may be available to everyone that's on the call today, as well as the slides. I'll send everyone a copy of the slides after this meeting.
Okay, and I'm not seeing any additional questions at this time.
Okay. Well, with that, I'd like to thank Kevin. Thank you, Dr. Day, so much for your presentation today. We really appreciate it. Thank you, everyone that was on the line today. Just as a reminder, we'll send you all the information, the slides and materials. And this Lunch and Learn, as well as all of our previous Lunch and Learns, are available at ncpanet.org/adherence on our Adherence Resource Center. If you have any other questions about Simplify My Meds, or anything with NCPA, feel free to shoot me an email at adherence@ncpanet.org. Thanks so much, and have a wonderful Tuesday.
Thank you all for your attention. This concludes today's conference call. All participants may now disconnect.